is how we fight this morning.
So when I fight, I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. In every tear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Spirit.
it shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His Son and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
We shall meet.
We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. As Jeffrey said, my name's Andrew. If you don't know me, I'm the youth pastor here at Blount Springs Baptist Church. Some good news for you this morning. You probably will be getting to lunch a little early. So don't be amening that now. Don't be amening that. Like our text this morning said, we're going to be in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." I want you guys to really understand that. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's filled you with His Spirit that lives through you to bring mighty works in your life so that we get to see the glory of God, so that we can see His glory flow through our lives. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. So, I'm going to give the cameraman a challenge today because I'm a bit of a mover, if my youth knows that. But I'm going to be probably pacing here back and forth, so good luck, guys. When I was in high school in the youth group, we went on a mission trip. We went on a mission trip to New Mexico. And we were down there putting roofs on houses. And it was I learned a lot about roofing. Can you imagine a bunch of teenage kids putting a roof on your house? It was quite the spectacle. So we were down there working, and every day they would take a small group around and go door to door, and they would go visit a couple houses each day. So I wasn't all about that. I was one of the ones that, hey, just leave me here on the roof, let me put some shingles up, that's my service, okay? I don't want to go knocking door to door. Well, about the third day they call my name out. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. And so I get down off the roof. The guy tells us, he's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go visit two houses. And this is what, you know, you can talk about. And I had a buddy with me that was in my youth group. And so my stomach just starts, it's in knots, okay? I don't want to just go talk to random people about Jesus, right? That's so awkward. What am I going to say? But he gives us the spill of what we're doing, and we start going to the first house. And I'm sitting there praying. I'm like, Lord, you're just going to have to speak through me, because I'm looking around, and I'm like the oldest one in this group. I've waited too long. I should have went with a group with older kids in it. So they're looking at me like I'm going to have to talk. And I'm like, okay. So we get to that first door. Standing there. Nobody answered. And I'm like, yes! Let's go to the next one. Maybe we're going to get lucky here. And so we go to the next one, but I can already see through the window there's somebody home. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, sometimes when people knock on our doors, we just don't answer it. We hide. Maybe they'll do the same thing, you know? So we get to that next door, and I can feel it. I can feel that they're going to come to the door. So I'm just trying to prepare what I'm going to say. And I'm like, I start scheming. I'm like, okay, maybe if I do the introduction, maybe somebody else will step in and I won't have to talk about Jesus. I'll be like, hey, how you doing? Somebody go. So we get to that next door. She opens the door, a young lady. And I'm like, hey, my name's Andrew. We're with World Changers. We're going around. We're putting roofs on people's houses. And we'd like to come tell you about the good news. Nothing. Crickets. Luckily, this woman was a Christian. And she was like, yes, I saw y'all putting the roof on their house. And y'all are doing great work. And I go to church here. And this is my relationship with Jesus. And here's my testimony. And we had this great conversation. We had this great conversation about Jesus. And then later that night, something amazing happened. So my buddy that was with me, we were in small group, and he came up to me and said, hey, this has been on my heart. What y'all were talking about, the way that you have a relationship with Jesus, I don't have that. And I was like, oh, let me go get Mark. Mark Moon was my youth pastor then. I was like, let's go get Mark. Let's talk, brother. We're gonna get you right. So through my obedience, through just having a conversation with somebody about Jesus, God used my obedience to do something powerful in his life. Through that conversation that we had earlier that day, my buddy saw the wonder-working power of God just through a conversation. So sometimes we might be afraid. We might be scared to talk about Jesus. We might be nervous about it. Something's holding us back. But when we do, when we're obedient to God, God uses that obedience to do something powerful in our lives. He uses that obedience to do something powerful in our lives. And you might be afraid, but it's His power, His Spirit that's working through you. Amen. So if you're tired of living in fear today, I want to share three truths with you today that I hope can transform your life and teach you how to live courageously for Christ. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to embrace faith over fear. We're going to embrace faith over fear. So we've got all these wonderful stories throughout the Bible. I say Old Testament, but they're throughout the Bible. We've got courageous men throughout the entire Bible. We've got David. We've got Noah, Moses, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's probably one of my favorite stories, the fiery furnace, man. If I was standing in front of that oven like that, and it was like, hey, throw us in. God's either going to save us or we're going to go be with Him. I would love to have that attitude. I'd love to have that much faith. But each story reminds us that God gives us His Spirit for courage to overcome things like that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. So, and this courage that He gives us, it's not like this worldly courage that everyone teaches us that's out in the world. It's completely different than biblical courage. The world teaches us almost the exact opposite of what the Word teaches us. And I thought that was just crazy of how against the world is so against everything that the Bible stands for. The world teaches us, worldly courage teaches us arrogance. It teaches us self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. It's all about me, what I can do. Where biblical courage teaches humility. And fully trusting in God's will. Fully surrendering yourself. Laying your crowns down at His feet. It's believing that no matter the circumstances, His strength is greater than your fear. And thinking about David and Goliath, I'm going to use that one because everybody knows that story of David and Goliath, of this young shepherd boy facing this huge, 12, 15 foot tall giant. But God had been preparing him. God had been preparing him throughout his life. He's been told he's going to be a king. He's been anointed. He's been out in this field guarding this sheep, this flock of sheep with his shepherd's staff and his sling. And he's been protecting these sheep from these wild animals, maybe wolves, lions, whatever's out there trying to eat these sheep. And then God says, David, I've got a giant you need to face. But I'm going to be with you. Trust in my strength. Psalms 27:1 says this. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This is David. Whom shall I fear? I'm trusting in God. I've fully submitted my life to God, and I'm going to trust in Him. So what do I have to fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David didn't rely on his size. He didn't rely on his strength. He relied on the strength of God. That's what embracing faith over fear looks like. Trusting that His strength is greater. So where are the giants in your life that are creating fear? Where can you embrace your faith over your fear and fully surrender yourself to God? The next thing we're going to do is we're going to strengthen our faith through obedience. Strengthen our faith through obedience. Obedience is a beautiful thing in Christianity. It shows our love for Jesus. Y'all don't have this piece of scripture up there, I'm sorry. But John 14:15 says that Jesus tells us, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you have love for me, you'll do these things. Because faith without obedience is just this belief that it doesn't ever really go anywhere. It just stays hidden. But obedience is where your faithfulness comes to life, where your faithfulness is proven, where people can see the difference between you and the rest of the world. There should be reasons why people know that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Christ. We're called to be different. When I was in Kevin's class, he told us, he said, did you know we're aliens? I love that. That stayed with me, brother. We're aliens of this world. We're called to be different. Obedience is where faith comes to life and courage is proven. We're called to be doers of the word, not just hearers, as we see in James 1:22. We're called to be doers of the word. When I worked in Hansville at a body shop, there was a painter there. And just off of his works, I was pretty sure that he didn't know Jesus, at least in a way that he needed to. And so one day, I don't know how, the conversation got brought up about God. And I was like, oh yeah, well, what do you think about God? And he said, you know, I think I'm a pretty good person. I do pretty good things. I try not to sin a whole lot, do bad stuff. So I think I'll go to heaven. And I'm like, oh, brother. I knew what I needed to do to be obedient to God's word. But instead, I didn't embrace my faith over my fear. And I didn't strengthen my faith through obedience. And I cowered down that day. I hope I never do that again. Because that stuck with me for so far probably 15, 16 years. And I feel like I failed that day. But we've got to strengthen our faith. And the best way to strengthen our faith is through obedience. And we learn how to be obedient through the Word of God, through the Bible. The Bible is the living Word of God. It tells us how to be obedient. Without this, we don't know what to do. So we got to get in it. It's God's voice speaking to us. And as we study and pray over the Scripture that we're in, God reveals what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live. He speaks to us through His Word. And we know that when something doesn't line up with His Word, it's probably not from God. To live in obedience means to apply His Word to our lives each day, every day, with one goal in mind. How can I glorify God today? How can I be obedient? God's done so much for me. God saved me. He's given me everything I have. I thank Him for it. It's for His glory. How can I glorify Him today? You may say, well, I have a hard time knowing what to do to glorify God. What do I need to do to start glorifying God in my everyday life? I'm going to give you three practical ways to glorify God in your life. And that's first thing we got to do is we got to pray. We got to pray for people. Pray for people we love. Pray for people that are real hard to love. Make a list. Make a prayer list. Keep up with it. Have a time, a place to get down on your knees and pray to the God of the universe. Pray for people in your daily lives. We got to read the Word. How can we apply this to our lives if we don't know what it says? Read your Bible and apply God's Word to your daily decisions. This is how God speaks to us. Next thing we're going to do is make sacrifices. Chris, I'm not talking about that turkey you got in the backyard. I'm talking about sacrificing your time to humbly serve others. The Bible gives us some specific examples on this. It says we got to take care of the elderly. We got to take care of the widows. We got to serve in the church. Older men, teach the younger men. Older women, teach the younger women. Bring these people up in unity for Christ. When we strengthen our faith through obedience, the Spirit of God works through us to give us the courage we need to proclaim His Word, to be doers of the Word, as James tells us. And when obedience feels difficult, it feels hard to do, a doubt creeps in, look around you. Who are you surrounding yourself with? What kind of people? The people you choose to spend time with is either going to do one of two things. It's going to strengthen your faith, or it's going to weaken your faith. Choose those who help you stand firm. We're going to unite ourselves with genuine Christians. We're going to unite ourselves with genuine Christians. Growing in your relationship with God requires a community. We need each other. That's why God made the church. We're to support each other in unity. What's the old saying? You need a town or a community to raise a child. We need a church to raise a Christian. Growing in your relationship requires a community of genuine Christians. We need each other as believers to talk to pray with, to study with, and to hold each other accountable. That's a tough one. Because accountability isn't always comfortable. Accountability can be very uncomfortable. But true friends, true brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't let their brothers, their sisters drift away from God. It's a whole lot easier to stay strong and faithful when you're surrounded by people who fear the Lord. We're even warned about this, about who we choose to spend our time with. Proverbs 14:7 says, "Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge." These people that are causing you to sin in your life, get away from them. Leave the presence of a fool. My dad used to tell me an old saying, and still reigns true today. He still tells it to me, and I still use it. It says, good doesn't bring bad up. Bad brings good down. So we can't let the world drag us down to its level. We can't let the fleshly things in our life pull us to worldly desires. We got to stay away from them. We've got to let the body of Christ in, be in unity with each other as Christians. We got to let the body of Christ sharpen our wisdom. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We've got to support each other, love each other, pray for each other, be there for each other. Because when a friend lovingly points out where you're falling short, that's not criticism. It's not judgment. That's a blessing in your life. You need to surround yourself with people who care more about your soul, more about your relationship with Christ than your comfort. Because God designed us to grow together, to strengthen one another, and to persevere in faith as a church. Jeffrey. So how do we live courageously? I hope y'all have an answer for that by now. But living courageously is stepping forward even when you're scared. Trusting that God will guide your steps. He will be a lamp unto my feet. When we live courageously for Christ, God uses our obedience to start a chain reaction. And that chain reaction is going to impact the world. I know everybody here, I hope, has played with dominoes at one point in their life. They've stacked them up, they've put them in a row, maybe made a big swirl in the floor, a zigzag, and they knock that first one over, and what happens? They all start to fall. That's how we should spread the gospel. You tell one person. If that person accepts it, they tell another person. If that person accepts it, they tell another person. And the person you witness to, it could make it all the way across the United States. It could make it to Japan. It could make it to China. Who knows where the Word of God will travel when you're obedient to what He tells us to do. To go out. Make disciples. So today, if fear is holding you back, whether it's fear of failure, rejection, or just the unknown, I hope today God is calling you to courage, to live courageously. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're, for my believers in here today, I hope you can apply this to your life and start to live courageously. If you're a new believer, maybe you haven't been obedient in baptism. Today's the day. Step out in faith. Step out in obedience. Let your faithfulness be proven. If you're a more seasoned believer today, I hope you can take these words, these steps, to grow closer to God in your relationship. If you would, come pray with us. Let us support you. Let us be a unified body of Christ that loves one another. If you need prayer, please come. If you've never made the decision to believe today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, guys, we're not promised tomorrow. This is the most important decision you could ever make. And we're here for you. We'll pray for you. We'll support you. I'll try to answer any question I can answer. And I know Philip will do the same. Are you ready to surrender your life to Christ? Are you ready to take that faithful step to give it all to Him, to lay your crowns down at His feet? If you would, come pray with us.